Good afternoon and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini. Get us being able to say good afternoon.
I know.
So exciting.
It is. All right. So the assignment from yesterday was, opportunity is missed by most because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work. This reminds us of the poem by Rumi, The Guest House, which encourages us to invite in everything that comes our way, for it might have been sent from the guide beyond. Life is always offering something, but we have to be there to receive it. Since anything from life is a threat to ego, ego is always saying no, especially if what shows up requires an engagement with life. How often have we discovered the pure joy of cleaning out a closet or shoveling dirt or huffing and puffing up a steep hill? Today, discover the gift of doing life's work. Put on your overalls and say a wholehearted yes to the work you do. Record and listen.
Sounds good.
All right. Let's hear from our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hi, wow. So I'm actually in the Lehigh Valley Airport awaiting pickup for our festivities of the coming week together.
Uh-huh. Well, we're in very close proximity to you.
I guess so. And plus, you said good afternoon, which...
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Very thrilling.
So, apropos of the question for today, I was just recently, of course, in the Philadelphia airport, and I encountered some art, which for me was very exciting. It was based on a fellow who, actually a West African man, who takes pictures of the sidewalk where people have spewed out their gum and then walked on it extensively. And he uses the basis of those pictures. He uses the form and shape that those pictures present as the basis of his art. And it was like, wow, this is really taking something that is seemingly random, perhaps just the awful of human existence, and turning it into something that's beautiful and amazing.
Giving us an idea that we might be able to do that anywhere, anytime.
Exactly. And I'm kind of working on a project and have been for a year now that requires a huge amount of creativity. And I don't really know how to get to it and, you know, kind of get a handle on it. And I realized just looking at those pictures and so forth, that really all I need to do, which is actually a lot, is be as open as possible to everything that's happening around me. In this case, it would be a sound, because I'm interested in a sound project. But just being aware of every sound and their interactions and try not to put meaning to them, just experience them for what they are.
Mm-hmm. And, Mark, I think that you were headed in a good direction right before that limitation, which is just to be open to everything as it is, without any interpretation or meaning or conversation, right?
Yes, of course. Thank you.
Uh-huh. But that's the real portal, isn't it?
And then life will
provide for you the specifics.
Indeed, and apropos of, you know, returning what you just said, I don't actually normally listen so carefully to all the sounds. I normally am looking at things. I'm looking, seeing. I'm much more, you know, we're probably all more visually oriented. So for the last hour or so, I've been actually still seeing, you know, because indeed the clues and the truths are quite likely to come there, but also listen more deeply to the sounds. Mm-hmm. And it's like it added another complete dimension to my experience. It's quite wonderful.
Yes, and one of the things that, I don't know if we've talked about it, but we talk about it on occasion in practice, is practicing dropping attention down to the hara, down to the center, a couple of inches below the navel, that part of the second chakra, dropping the attention there and moving through life with attention there instead of in that often disastrous relationship between the eyeballs and conditioned mind.
Right.
And so it's a quick way to expand awareness.
I get that intellectually, and just kind of apropos of that, lately I've been working on putting the attention in my heart, which seems to be a vast open space. And it has there's a very different kind of human or aliveness of that source of attention. And if I'm actually there, I can kind of, in flickers, actually experience ego as just like a bubble or something, you know? It isn't me.
An bubble.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, well, we get a chance to see how it's always coming in after the fact, afterwards. There's life unfolding, then here comes, oh, yes. Uh-huh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
No.
All right. Well, good. All right. Well, yeah. I'm looking forward to transcending fear for the next few days. So we'll get to explore more of this, and maybe we'll all practice dropping attention to the heart on the way to the hara, and having that expansive relationship with life. The point of that being, that's a fast way to transcend fear as well. Not only do we get creativity, but we don't have to deal with fear in the same way. So lots of arguments for it.
Oh, yeah. Totally. And I'm told, you may or may not remember, I've only attended one of the full workshops. I've only attended four, no less than four. There is nothing wrong with yous. And so I'm kind of on pins and needles and yet really excited. And, you know, I've been given instruction by my sweetie about do this and don't do that. And it's really kind of fun.
So you're prepped. You're all prepped. You're ready.
I'm totally prepped. And a bag that's packed, which she packed. I mean, I'm ready, man.
You're ready. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. So, see you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mark. I've heard you say it a couple of times and just wanted to reflect it for the conversation, that moving the attention to the hara or someplace other than where it's habitually situated allows us to see conditioning come in as a mental activity. It really is an expansion of awareness.
Yes. And that's a very helpful phrasing. Realizing conditioning is a mental activity. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Uh-oh. Okay, next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my gosh, I'm unmuted. Hi, it's Stephanie.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hi. So we were just talking about the body and moving attention to the hara. I have not done much studying on chakras. And what I've noticed in the last few months as I've been practicing more and more is my throat getting very, very sensitive. And I'm just wondering if that's something about my heart opening up But it's a sensation that's been happening more and more, and it's getting stronger and stronger, and it almost hurts.
Okay. Well, the simple way, oftentimes that sort of thing is viewed is that the throat chakra, the fifth chakra, is personal identity, and so as we do more of this kind of opening awareness work, it's body work. You start feeling things in new ways, in new places, and it's not just physical. It's different emotions and memories and all of those sorts of things get triggered. So in along those same lines with the fifth chakra, as we do more introspective work, more letting go, less identification with the ego, with the personal, we can often feel it there. So the color for that chakra is blue, and so it can be helpful to breathe in blue, the color blue, into all four sides of the throat. And sometimes people will even get a blue scarf and wear it and just give some extra attention and loving kindness to that part of the body as these sorts of transitions happen. The main thing we don't want to do with any of this is make belief systems out of it, right? Which is an argument for not studying it. The reason that I know about this sort of thing is because I, for years until he died, I had a very good friend who was a psychic clairvoyant, and he would tell me all these things, and I would go, oh, okay, all right, good. So not to turn anything into a belief system, but just to be open to those kinds of possibilities and let it be more sensitivity to what's going on without needing to have any particular relationship with it, if you know what I mean.
I do, and I frankly I don't think that could have been a better answer to my question.
Oh, very good, very good.
It was perfect because I remain ignorant because of that. I don't want to have to leave.
And
me
too.
Why bother?
Uh-huh.
We're too busy being
well,
here.
I'm working hard to let go of what's already in there, without needing to put any more in there that I'm just going to have to let go later on. So yes, if it arrives in the moment, then here it is, and that's great. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't, and that's great.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Thank you so much.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's so true, right, Sherry, that it's and so counterintuitive to how we're conditioned that the more we know, somehow the more competent or the more equipped
prepared.
We are to deal with the world. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we start to go the spiritual route, the less we know, the more we are not engaging that faculty, the more we have the ability to have our own direct experience.
Yes. And you know, when you say that, Ashwini, I was looking at it because I am by nature a wildly curious human being. And I like to find out about everything. But I realized when you said that, it's from a perspective of realizing how much I don't know. So everything that I encounter that is new or a new slant on something shows me, I didn't know that either. And so rather than holding on to those, rather than collecting those, allowing those to be more information of how very vast all of this is and how kind of silly it is to try to make any of it mine and hold on to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the way you phrase that, because I project that what you're pointing at is the ability to be curious as a way of finding out, not curious to know. Right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's the difference.
Yeah,
but finding out about something is, oh, okay, that's information, interesting, and it gets filed away as something that's information that may or may not be relevant in the future. It's not, it gets added to a belief system and then basically concretized around that. It's, oh,
right,
that's interesting, and I don't know, but it doesn't stop the curiosity, which is what I think often happens if we have a belief system, because we know those beliefs are unexamined and we lose our ability to be curious.
Yes, yes, and I think you're right. Everything we know closes us to new information, because beliefs can only stay intact as long as we don't continue the exploration past when they got solidified.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Lori. I'm also in the airport here at Lehigh.
Hi, Lori.
Hi. You know, this is so great. What is occurring to me has to do with working meditation, for one thing, and how, what a practice of being present in the moment that is, and of just doing the next thing. You were saying the other day, now, doing what's now instead of what's next. And when I can bring that presence of practice into whatever it is that's going on, it just feels like liberation.
Yes, liberation and sort of religious, huh?
sort of religious.
you know what,
yeah.
I mean? Kind of an act,
yeah,
of... thank you, and acknowledging how extraordinary life is. And, yeah, we can see, we talk about when we're conscious, every breath is service, is compassionate service, and it's like that, isn't it? I mean, we can be doing anything, and if we're here for it, it's compassionate service.
Yeah, and there's been a struggle recently for me of getting taken over by thought and conditioned whatever. And just what you were talking about, coming back into breath, into the body, and also into service and into and any action. And it doesn't even matter what it is that the activity is or the,
no.
It brings the awareness into here I am, and all that,
yes,
other stuff that's going on in the head is so made up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it's that practice of, Scott talks about just walking around saying I love you to everything.
Yeah.
It's hard to go anywhere or get too lost when you realize in a non-separate reality, we don't have to do the what's sentient and what isn't. Everything is sentient. And
yeah.
So I love you. It's all an expression. Everything is an expression of life in form. So, yeah, the door that opens. The glass to drink the water from.
Yeah, just the simple being alive, and when there's not really any story connected to it, there is such gratitude. I've been listening to recordings as I've been traveling some, I love the thing about recordings, because they can go back in time, and they're so always so fresh and new anyway. Even
yes,
if they were recorded, years ago, there's something like just the magic of that, like going around and saying, I love you, because I was doing that the other day, or hearing I love you. Receiving,
uh-huh,
I love you from everywhere. So so it's a thank you as ever, you and Ashwini and everybody, and I'm looking so forward to this retreat.
Me too. Thank you, Lori.
Yeah.
See you in a few.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just so wonderful when we choose to do that. To say, I love you, and bow to every expression of the Buddha everywhere.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because everything is awakening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of from my other religious tradition, everything is an act of worship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? Huh. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate from Seattle.
Hello, Kate.
Hello, good morning, or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah.
Gosh, I've been really enjoying all these conversations so far, and I was thinking about my overalls and my work from yesterday and what a nice addition just during that, when I'm doing that, it would be to say I love you and to each of the little projects that I was taking on.
Uh-huh. And to see the opportunity in that, right? That's the, because what larger opportunity could there be than to live in love?
Yes, and what I was seeing is, like, I was in love, and it was so much fun to do the things that I was doing, but adding that, like, one of the things I've been looking at recently is just the power of words and verbalizing and just saying it and saying it out loud or thinking it as I'm doing it.
Yes. Yeah. It's everything, isn't it? It really is. I mean, on our way to, I'm sure we're going to reach the silence of the Buddhas any time now. But between now and then, for us to be verbalizing what is so and what is true, reinforcing that for ourselves, as a way of countering the negative karma that uses verbalizing to do its dirty work, it's critical. We just have to make that effort. We have to if we have any hope at all of ending suffering. That's the giant step forward.
Yeah, and it was just so helpful. And I got to a point in the day where exercise was one of the things that I was going to do. Well, actually, it was about 3 hours before the exercise was going to happen. And, you know, the voice came in with, wow, you know, maybe you've done a little too much this week. Maybe this afternoon should really just be some relaxed time. And
with me, preparably.
Yes, my evil designs. And it was really interesting because it was just a different experience for me of really of saying, well, I'm going to go, and if I'm that tired when I get there, I'll just take it more easy in the class that I'm going to go to. And then I went and put on my workout overalls or my workout clothes, and it's what you always talk about is like the actual energy draining part is the conversation. And as soon as that shifted, all of a sudden there was someone in there who was so excited to go. And it was just really fun.
Yes, yes. Well, because the energy was yours again.
Yes.
Like you went past that possibility of having that energy sucked out of you in that conversation and falling for what it's saying will take care of you. And in making that turn back to you, you got all the energy for yourself. And what do you want to do? Well, I want to participate.
Right.
I'm in physical form. I want to enjoy being a human.
Yeah, and I guess that's what's different is that time between, like, it was just, it's becoming shorter and more intense. Like, it can go from very low to very high energy very quickly, and that's what's feeling different to me.
Yes, yes, yeah. Well, and the intensity of the transition, right? There's, well, I don't know. And then No, I think I'll just, and often conditioning just roars back. You know, if it can't talk you into, then it's going to try another approach, right? Either I don't want to, I don't feel like it, I'm tired, or, you know, there's something, you had 3 hours to contemplate this, right? So a ton can go on about how you need to really take care of this, or you need to feel bad about that, or whatever it is. You need to go eat something you're going to feel bad about later on. Anything to distract from that just calm intention to stay with yourself.
Yes. And as I hear you say that, I can believe, but it was amazing how early the campaign against it started.
Yes. Yep. Yep. As soon as it occurs to you, here comes the campaign. And that's one of the fascinating parts about practicing awareness, is that often we don't realize that what started the campaign was an impulse to be present.
So
it drops in that, exercise is out. I mean, it could be, you know, the simplest thing drops in, and here comes conditioning. Now it's going to start. Now it's going to start. Now it's going to start. Now. Until you're meant not to be paying attention, and just it sucks the life force out all along for those 3 hours. Then it talks you into feeling bad. You don't go. You stay home with it, you know, and it's hell. The whole thing is hell.
Gosh, that's so cool to have you describe it that way, because, the first part feels like the reaction to the impulse, but that there was the impulse that I can see now before. I must have been like, oh, what time is it? You know, just like maybe checking the time to see what time I had to go, or something that simple that I didn't pick up on. Yes. Oh, that's so cool.
It is cool. People, we've heard it here. We'll hear it in situations like this where somebody will think that what happened is they're calling into the show because the voices were telling them not to. But what really happened was an impulse to call into the show. And then what they tune into is the campaign to get them not to. And so it looks like the campaign was the first thing that happened, which is why people get fooled into believing that ego is the deep down. So ordinarily, I'm a really nice person, but underneath that nice is underneath that nice veneer is the real me, which is angry and upset and no, it's not like that at all. What's underneath that conditioned angry upset is authenticity, which is loving kindness and, you know, a thousand words that we could use to describe that. On top of that gets layered ego. And then what we do when we're going around the world, being as conscious and aware as we can be, is operating out of that authentic nature. And periodically, ego is able to pull us into that conditioned reality. And because that's where we tune in, we believe when it says that's who you really are.
Oh, wow. That is so huge, and I hadn't seen it in that way before, and so I'm just grateful for this call and this program. Thank you to everyone.
Me too. And me too, Kate. Yeah. And you know, the thing about that I hope is helpful to people is that people are so conditioned to be afraid to look, because they're going to find this, I call it the cesspool school of psychology. You know, I'm going to look underneath and I'm just going to find this pit of disgusting mess. I don't want to go there. It's too horrifying. We can actually make quite a quick trip past that and get to the get to the real stuff. So then we have a real stuff sandwich. And what we're doing is getting rid of the filling, choice by choice, until those real things come together, and that's all there is. There's no more illusion about what that middle stuff is. We know what it is, and we can just ignore it.
Well, that is so good. Thank you.
Good. All right. Thank you, Kate.
All right. Have a great retreat.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Kate. And that brings us to the end of another wonderful show. Sherry, here is our
Already?
Assignment for today. Yes?
Already? How did that happen? Oh, my God.
Very
I
quickly.
Think time happens faster on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that. Well, everything is faster here. Okay, I'm having the experience. What's now?
Well, it's our Friday assignment, and then we'll be hopefully seeing everyone on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And here is the assignment. The rut is a grave with the end knocked out.
A rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. Wow, okay.
Pinned on the sandwich board in the monastery dining hall is an old, faded quote with this definition of karma, the incessant push towards what we think we deserve. Karma could be described as the great cosmic rut, a pattern that repeats itself endlessly. To be trapped on the karmic wheel of suffering is to miss out on the glorious experience of being alive. Today, notice when you're trapped in an old karmic rut. What drops in from life in that moment of awareness that would assist you to make a choice for freedom? According to Lisa.
Mm. Mm. All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini. Thank you,
thank
everybody.
You,
have a great holiday weekend. See you Monday.
See you Monday.
Okay. Bye-bye.